for you to be in this situation this morning as we've been with your experience, your body, your mind. Certainly from the brief conversations with two or three of you just now, that are similar to many conversations I've had with many people over years and years of this, it's not easy for us to kind of be brought directly into contact with our experience, to have the wish or the intention that the mind might be calm, that the body might be at ease, that sort of the meditation might seem to be going somewhere, when in fact it seems the body isn't necessarily comfortable, the mind isn't particularly at ease, and the meditation doesn't appear to be going anywhere at all. And so I think just beginning with that reflection, that contemplation, that this practice brings us into contact with the reality of a life that isn't always as we wish it to be. The reality of an experience or a flow of experience that isn't subject to our control or necessarily in accord with what we'd wish to be happening. And this experience, we talk about this in Dharma terms, is suffering, or is dukkha, the condition or aspect of experience in which it's hard to bear. It's not easy for us. We come thinking, oh, meditation, calm, peaceful, light, relaxed. Yes, that's what I'd like to spend my Saturday doing. And somehow we have that lovely association with it, but it's not always what happens. And so the acknowledgement, the willingness to let ourselves come into contact with this reality is fundamental to both the potential that the meditation has to offer us in terms of transforming our life, but also with regard to the very particular topic that that I'm offering, or that's been sort of put out for today, of compassion and what that is. That compassion essentially begins from the place where we allow ourselves to be affected, to feel, to be in contact with that which is not easy to bear, that which is not necessarily as we wished it to be. And both for ourselves and for others, allowing ourselves to really let in the way things are requires a certain courage and indeed a compassion that we bring. And in this, compassion isn't necessarily in itself a kind of feeling that we have. We think, oh, it's really difficult, oh, poor me, or oh, looks like they're having a hard time, poor them. Or it's not that kind of a feeling necessarily, although it might have that element to it. It's more the willingness, first of all, to let ourselves be touched, be affected by life, and the response that naturally comes to that. If we see what's happening, a lot of what's happening in the meditation is a wish to somehow find some ease, some peace, some resolution, some transformation to our experience right here, or to our lives in some way or form or aspect, or to the world. It might be that we're in contact with some sense of the difficulties that this world faces and that groups and communities and nations face within us, and species and ecosystems face within the conditions of the world. And that allowing ourselves to be impacted, to be in touch with how things are, is very much the foundation from which a very natural and organic human capacity that we can call compassion starts to flow, or comes as a response. It's, for most of us, something that we didn't really get a lot of support and training for necessarily. Sometimes we got told we're supposed to be nice to people. That's very different. But actually allowing ourselves to be touched by the suffering of our own life or the suffering of life around us, allowing ourselves to really feel what that's like, It's something very important. It's in fact something very compassionate to allow ourselves to feel what's not easy, what's difficult to bear. And of course, to a large extent, we resist it. We don't like it. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. And easily we also have the idea that it's a sign that something's gone horribly wrong, because isn't everything supposed to be comfortable, lovely, pleasurable, flattering, entertaining, enjoyable? And if it's not, haven't I somehow got it wrong, because didn't everybody else manage to make it happen that way? Isn't that such a strong attitude or perspective we get kind of given in life? That actually is quite attractive, and it would be nice if it was true, it seems, because I'd rather like it if everything could be lovely and pleasant, enjoyable, happy all the time. But clearly life has these difficult, challenging elements to them. And letting ourselves see the truth of it is really important. Because if we don't do that, we won't engage the inner mechanisms that it can actually help transform it. If we keep ourselves distant from that which is difficult, the very nature of what happens in that process is that we kind of find ourselves isolated and disconnected and separate from parts of our own experience and separate from others or from aspects or the whole sense of life itself. And this is, I think, a very common condition for us as human beings in the world today, to feel very separate, to feel very isolated, to feel very disconnected. And in that also to feel some what disempowered or unable to respond. So there's something about allowing ourselves, and starting with the meditation practice, allowing ourselves to come into contact with that which isn't easy to bear, which we call suffering or unsatisfactoriness or dukkha. The Buddha used the word dukkha, that element of things that not being in our control, not being as we wish them to be. Because it's true for us, is it not, that we wish for happiness, for well-being. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be exposed to that which is painful, that which is threatening or harmful to us. It's kind of almost so obvious as to not need stating, and yet that wish not to suffer is an expression of the natural compassion of what it means to be a human being. What tends to happen for us is that we don't necessarily see what's happening or what's going on with that, how the reaction to suffering or to difficulty or to distress, where we reject it, where we say something's wrong or something's bad or someone's wrong or someone's bad, and that's either somebody out there, i.e. them, or someone here called me. And of course it can go both ways. Something's wrong with them, they shouldn't be doing that. Something's wrong with me, I shouldn't be doing that. And a lot of what goes on in meditation is we see how much of that kind of rejecting goes on, or judging or blaming of others. And of course, when we see our mind doing that about others, we very easily then think, well, I shouldn't be doing that. There's something wrong. I shouldn't be judging, or I shouldn't be distracted, even distracted with harmless thoughts. I should be mindful and present. It seems quite simple, doesn't it? Instructions aren't that complicated. Just be present, be here, be awake, know what's going on right now. And yet so much of the time we're not. Almost everyone has that experience, it seems. When we say it's wrong or it's bad or it shouldn't be this way, what effectively we're doing, we're pushing it away. We're keeping ourselves distant from it. And then it can't actually work on us. So part of what happens here is that we allow ourselves to be affected. And we allow ourselves to be more conscious of that, become more sensitive to that. And of course, at one level, that's exactly what we don't want to have to do. We want something that will allow us to avoid all of that. And meditation sometimes gets sold on the basis that it will allow us to avoid all of that. I think it's a, you know, the Advertising Standards Agency would have something to say about it if it was reported in the proper way. Because, at least certainly as I would understand it and seek to articulate it, it's not about avoiding that which is difficult, painful, or scary to us, but about understanding it. And in that willingness to encounter it in order to understand it, also allowing ourselves to meet it with the caring that we have about the fact that it's this way, which is very different to judging or rejecting ourself or the experience or the situation that gives rise to it. So just, you know, here we are, invited to be attentive, and we're not able to be. Suggested it was, I think, a few times since I said it, I should know, to relax or to allow ourselves to relax. Sometimes we can't relax. It just feels, you know, we feel the momentum, the pressure, the busyness, the unsatisfactoriness of things. What is it like to just contemplate that for a moment? Like, what is it that brought us here in the first place? Is it not that we deeply care about our lives, about others, about this world? That if we were able to, we would take away that which is painful, distressing, harmful from our lives or from the lives of others around us? Wouldn't we do that? If any of us was bestowed the magic wand or the, you know, the omnipotent power to just make it suddenly all be lovely, wouldn't we do that? So, what we can see is that the tendency to judge or reject experience is born out of an attempt to somehow protect ourselves from that which is difficult, that which is scary, that which is painful, that which is unflattering to us. Allowing ourselves to encounter, to meet that experience, allows something else in us to begin to express itself. So there's something profoundly compassionate about just letting oneself meet our experience. Feel what it's like when the body gets a little uncomfortable, sitting without moving for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, longer now. Seeing what it's like for the mind when it can't make the thinking stop. It's just another thought that says, I want the thinking to stop, but it's uncomfortable. So often it seems to be. And it requires quite a degree of practice, really, and training, and kindly self-encouragement to allow ourselves to be more present in this encounter with life, to allow ourselves to be more sensitive, more open to what it feels like, that things don't always feel good, that sometimes things feel really the opposite of good, as in uncomfortable, scary, painful. And so we kind of start here, always, where we are. And I'm curious if something comes to mind for you. What's difficult right here for you? What's difficult? What's unwanted, unwished for, challenging, scary, just a little bit irritating for you here? Does anyone have something that comes to mind that they'd be open to just naming in a word or three? What's difficult here? It's okay if nobody wants to speak, but just notice what your response is. Is absolutely nothing? Couldn't imagine what he's talking about at the front. He must live on a different planet. bodies, hearts, minds, and the world, yeah? Okay. 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 Well, so interesting to see. There's something that's happening internally that's actually perhaps beneficial, a sense of relaxing, softening. And yet the fear is that it's impacting other people and that maybe other people are having a reaction to it. So one of the things that's really hard for us is to let ourselves be as we are and feel that that's okay. For everyone else around us. We're so used to constraining, restraining, or suppressing our actual experience to make it acceptable to others. This is probably something that others of us will recognize, and it's really fine to let your stomach make the sounds that it makes. This isn't silence in terms of an absence of sound. There's planes and cars and bodies moving, breathing, sneezing, or I haven't heard, but I'm guessing gurgling from what you're describing. Anything else anyone else would mention? Pain. Yeah, what kind of pain? Yeah, the question arises. There's pain, cramps, not comfortable sitting sometimes, and the wish how to deal with it. Often the deal with it is how do I kind of, no way, fix it, get rid of it. I'm not hearing that from you. That's what we often go to. But just to start with, what's it like just really acknowledging this is difficult? And what's it like also just, it's just a couple of people have spoken and things that probably we can recognize. Just noticing as, and there might be one or two others who are saying, what's it like to hear someone just say a simple but recognizably difficult thing for them? So just being aware of that. Anyone else? Uh-huh. What's that like? How does it affect you to feel like you might be about to lose your balance? But does that, is it like scary or painful or you? Right, okay, so you notice sort of like a bit of a shock reaction in the stomach, like a sort of a, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, so you're expressing it there with your body quite well, yeah. So we can get startled as if there's some kind of danger or we're going to hurt ourselves. Sure. Yeah. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that wish to cure, except we need to understand what will really help. Because it's, again, we can see something like shame can be really painful, really difficult, and we would wish to be free of it. The tendency is to think free of it means get rid of it, or make it not happen, or figure out why it's happening. Doesn't seem like it, does it? So, initially, allowing yourself to become more aware that this is here in your experience, that is going to be the basis from which a useful response to it can emerge. The first response of, I don't like it, I don't want it, and I don't want to do something that makes me encounter it. Like, meditation isn't generating. Most of what happens in meditation doesn't happen because we're meditating. What happens is we notice it because of what the meditation is doing. It allows us to see what's here. So it's not that going off and doing something else means that won't be happening. It'll just be happening unconsciously. And that gives you very little opportunity to deal with it. So initially, just being aware of where there is suffering or where there is difficulty and not immediately moving to do something about it. just allowing oneself to be affected. And notice what that's like. Notice what that's like. So it's interesting to see that there's that sort of part of oneself that seems to be trying to, in a way, make me do something. It's a coercive force in the mind that's actually quite painful to be subject to. So it's a measuring and comparing. And again, the degree of distress we can generate and experience around what's happening, because we've got the view that it should be happening differently or more quickly or not for so long or whatever we've compared in terms of an idea. And again, that's a source of a lot of suffering for many of us. Okay, so what is this difficult about that? Remembering things you haven't done that you should have done. Okay, so imagining someone's going to be angry with one. Shame. Okay, so it's also then an idea of oneself one doesn't feel okay with. Yeah. So there's lots of different things that are going on in our experience. Now, some of it is to do with the mind's tendency to create certain kinds of stories and scenarios that we are mostly doing unconsciously, and that here we maybe notice more clearly. In terms of the orientation of compassion, initially not trying to make that not happen, but actually let yourself feel, what's it like to actually let yourself feel the uncomfortableness of this? See, what would it be to make friends with this? To allow oneself to be touched by this? Something of sometimes where one actually is able to open to one's, or is developing the capacity to open to something difficult in one's experience, actually the message from others, from outside, is actually no, that's not appropriate, that one shouldn't be suffering here. It's, as you said, one can use Buddhist language to try and suggest that it's not a problem. when the subjective experience is that there's something painful, there's some suffering. Now, there might be a way in which understanding the truth of change might help us handle a difficult experience, but it doesn't take necessarily the painfulness out of it. And there's an immense amount of pain in feeling that others actually can't tolerate us having our experience or meeting it as it is. And a lot of pressure we can experience there. So just right now, I just want to name that I hear that as something really painful. I really appreciate you knowing that. And it seems like you're quite close to it right now, so be really gentle with that. But it's okay to be there, that close, at least in this context. So, we're going to have lunch in a couple of minutes. I just want to let you know that in case, because we've been sitting here for a little while now. I'm not deliberately doing that in order to generate experiences of discomfort, in order to have something to talk about. But I just want to describe something, which is part of why I, in a way, picked up the thread in this direction just now. I was recently teaching a retreat of about 8 days at Gaia House, the retreat center, some of you know well. And there was a woman there on the retreat who described remarkably a transformative experience that happened for her. And it very, very much struck me how much it had to do with this, what this is about. And she spoke at the end of the retreat. I'd heard some of what was happening over the retreat. She spoke at the end to the whole group about what had happened, and it involved her having a memory which she couldn't face of an image that she couldn't face. Her son had been murdered in a foreign country some years before, and she hadn't been able to allow herself to actually just see the image of how he was found wrapped in a blanket, dead. And it had been a very distressing, understandably as distressing as things could be. I can't imagine how hard that was for her. She described an incredible process of somehow finding in herself the capacity over time to just let herself look at the image that would arise in her mind that she couldn't let herself see. To actually let herself feel what that meant for her, what that was for her. And I don't want to say too much about her story in that. But what was very remarkable and stood out to me was that in allowing herself to see that and to feel that, what she described was a transformation of her relationship to the perpetrator, to the murderer, who she also knew and who had known her son. There's something about us that when we can allow ourselves to really see even the most deep or painful or grievous things in our life or in our world, when we can actually have the courage to let them in, it's profoundly transformative for us. And the compassionate response that it seems to me we need in ourselves and the world needs from us very much is one that comes from that willingness to actually look at, to see, to feel, to be affected by. That when we really let ourselves touch that, it is a place which reveals to us something we share with each other, inevitably. One of the reasons why I asked you to offer, and I really appreciate those of you who did speak a little bit about just something that was hard, even little things, things of a, perhaps we might imagine a very different order to what I've just described as this woman's experience. Though maybe that's not the case for some of you. It's not a different order. But what is it to actually contemplate a world in which there is these difficult things for us, for each other, for others and ourselves? Actually let ourselves be touched by that. To not too quickly explain it, not too quickly make it somehow well, that's just how it is. It's suffering, or it's impermanent, or it's all empty anyway, which are not actually going to really touch the dimension that I'm speaking about. And they're not necessarily going to move us to find a response, to engage a response. There's so much suffering in this world that it's hard for us to let it. We see it on the front page of newspapers. We can read about it, look it up if we want to. I recently saw, and it stood out to me because it involved New Zealand, my country where I grew up. There was a case coming before the courts of a man from Kiribati, a small group of Pacific Island, they're basically atolls in the Pacific Island, who was seeking asylum in New Zealand, asylum from climate change, in fact, he said, because the islands are going underwater. Some of them are gone already. And so what was their home and country is disappearing. And would this be a basis for claiming asylum in, New Zealand, probably the nearest sort of large, mini-sized country in that part of the Pacific? I don't know where that's going to go as a court case, but there's just something about, what is it to let in that someone else's country is slowly going under the water right now? And some bits of it already gone. And they've bought a little part of Fiji, another Pacific island. The government has bought some land on Fiji to relocate their people because it looks like their country is disappearing. And I was thinking, how is it when we relate to the people who want to come and live in the country we live in? That we might think if they're going to take up all the space. Some of us feel that way, maybe. New Zealand's got pretty strict immigration controls, I'm sure as strict as the UK. And something about, what is that? To really let in another person's situation to our life. We can't do it unless we let our own situation into our life. We let ourselves feel the humanity of our own struggles, difficulties, fears, pains, losses, griefs. Only so far as we allow that in without making it wrong or evidence of somehow some sort of failure on our part, can we start to let each other in more fully. And that letting in ourselves, letting ourselves in, letting each other in, that is the place from which what I would describe as compassion can really move, can really act, can really flow. I'll speak more about that later. But I just wanted to, in a way, touch that territory a little just now. And I'd like to, without inviting you to have to spend the lunchtime contemplating it, or turning your mind to it, to not turn away from what you do notice. Do you have a sense of what that might mean? It's like if you notice there's something there in yourself or your awareness of the world or what you see in someone walking down the street, just to let in that sense of, oh, that might be hard. Or if we know it directly, this is hard, if it's our own experience, that might be hard. And just letting whatever responses be, whatever responses come, let them be there. We might not want to feel, we might not want to see, we might not want to know. That's okay. Our own journey to this is our own, and it's not according to a model or a map. But so far as there's a willingness to just not turn away, or if we turn away to notice it happening, that's enough. We don't have to go looking or trying to make something happen. And just noticing whatever we notice in that. We'll take an hour now for some time for lunch. And I'd like to, I think Liz may have a couple of things to say, but I'd like to ask that we keep the silence through this time. If you feel you'd like to, after you've eaten your lunch, just to go out for a walk or be amongst people, sure, that's fine. I'd really encourage you not to be getting out your phones and checking your messages or silently texting. In terms of the space that you're giving yourself by being here, you're going to most support that by really staying with the simplicity of the situation, staying with the simplicity of your experience. And I will come back together at 2:15. So you're welcome also to, you know, rest in here. And if anyone has anything that they'd like to speak with me about, in about half an hour I'll be free, and you could just come and either knock on, or look if it's closed, or look in the door if it's open. And I'm happy to, if someone has something they'd like to speak about in the latter part of the lunch period. Is that long enough for lunch? I didn't ask, but that's about, an hour is probably enough, isn't it? Is that what you, yeah.